In this week's news headlines, we've got a new beauty buzzword for 2024, plus which popular international retailer is pulling out of Korea. Stick around to find out. Hello and welcome to the Korean Beauty Show podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lee, the founder of Style Story, where you can shop, learn, and explore the world of Korean skincare, and the founder of Korean beauty brand Jelly Co. So welcome back to the show for another week, and I just want to put it out there because I'm just starting to record and I'm not in my usual location. So you will have to forgive me if there is a little bit more background noise. I've tested my mic a couple of times and I'm in the best spot that I've managed to find, but there is a heater in the background that is kind of blowing hot air out. So I'm like gazing daggers across the room at it, hoping that it won't emit too much background noise. So please do forgive me if we do not sound the same as we normally do. I hope that it will still be audible and that this whole episode won't go to waste. But look, I'll get stuck straight into it. We did have a lot in the news headlines this week. And the first really big piece of news is that Sephora has announced that it is pulling out of Korea. Now, this isn't really surprising to anyone who has probably been living in Korea or reading the news. For the last couple of years, at least, there have been rumors flying around, just general sentiments that the retailer wasn't doing as well as expected and that they had a far more limited range than, for example, they do at Sephora in the US. My local Sephora actually shut down very quietly a few months back and moved into a nearby mall, but at a pop-up location. So it was very much a pared-down offering from what they'd previously had. And the previous store wasn't even that big. Now, this, even though it's not surprising, and this is definitely not the first time that Sephora has failed in Asia, it's not a good thing, in my opinion, for competition for consumers, because less options and less competition in a market is always a bad thing. A lot of the news reports that I've seen reporting on this news this morning have basically suggested that it's because they couldn't compete with Olive Young. And I mean, you only need to take a look around at the beauty landscape in Korea to see that that is the dominant offline retailer at this point in time. They have managed to stomp out the competition from places like Lops, which was another popular one. It was previously Watson's, which is very big in Asia. So Love Health and Beauty, that was another retailer that left a few years ago. Shakur is another popular local option. But again, there aren't that many locations and the selection is much more pared down. Now, I have a lot of time for Olive Young. I always enjoy having a browse in there. But the selection, and this might sound, you know, wild if you don't live in Korea, and, you know, you're sort of seeing the stuff that they have, you might think, what do you mean the selection? There's an issue with that. It is all very samey-samey. And if you compare it to a retailer like your Sephora, it's just not comparable. Like the kind of brands and what people were doing in Sephora and do in Sephora. I mean, walk into any Sephora, you know, in any other country and you'll see what I mean, is that there's a whole lot of different brands with a whole range of different philosophies and, you know, talking points and packaging, and not everyone is trying to replicate the same thing. And if you walk into an Olive Young, you'll kind of see what I mean. This has become particularly pronounced, I guess, post-pandemic, because everyone in Korea is worried about things like barrier damage and, you know, revitalizing their skin. All of those kind of buzzwords is what you'll see again and again. You know, we're looking for gentle products, fragrance-free, skin-restoring, nourishing, barrier repair, all of that kind of thing. And if you're looking around for a greater selection, you just don't tend to find that. It's just a lot of the same. The packaging tends to be a lot of the same. And then, of course, the big one, particularly for people that have anything other than the typical Korean shades of foundation, is that there is no range really in the makeup either. And that's what a lot of people enjoyed about Sephora, was that you had your your international brands that do have that much bigger shade range that is very, very hard to find in Korea. So look, I think it's not surprising. That news shouldn't come as a shock to anyone that's kind of been following the market and or shopping in Sephora for the last couple of years. But I don't think it's an altogether positive thing. It definitely will make it harder to shop in Korea for people that have, you know, anything other than very, very fair skin. And just for people that are looking for brands that have their own strong brand identity and are really forging a pathway and doing their own thing. I think, you know, K-beauty has so many positive elements, but tends to get swept up in a trend and a craze. And a lot of brands that have their really distinct brand identity or a mission and a purpose can kind of get washed away in that in the local market, just because consumers here domestically have such a strong preference. And once they've decided what that is, the brands sort of all rush to cater towards that. So look, that's just my hot take. But yeah, not surprising. Disappointing. It is what it is. You know, it's a tough retail environment for a lot of businesses at the moment. Everyone from, you know, multinational companies to small businesses is definitely struggling because the cost of living crisis is absolutely out of control in pretty much every country that I visited in the last couple of years. And that then has just obviously a flow-on effect to people's ability to spend discretionary spending on things like skincare. Now, the next big piece of news is that we have a new keyword for the beauty industry in 2024. So this was a recent report done by Cosmetics Business, and the keyword is peptide. So they've ranked peptides as one of the top 5 skincare trends this year, and this was then being reported on in Korean media as well. So analysts say that the reason is the growing interest of consumers in skin recovery ingredients. So basically, like what I was just saying, there is a massive push in the market at the moment for, you know, barrier repair, skin recovery, all of these kind of things. So one of the global market consultancy agencies is called Future Market Insights, and they have said that the annual average growth rate is expected to be 5.4%, so a growth in value from $244.2 million this year to $411.9 million in 2034. This is for peptides specifically. Now, peptides are not a new invention. They have been around for about 20 years at this point. However, they are now much more accessible to brands at all different levels of the market. And lots of K-beauty brands you will probably have seen lately have been releasing products with peptides. They are very, very popular. You'll see them in everything from serums to eye creams to moisturizers. I've even seen lip glosses as well. This is obviously not just in Korean beauty, but Korean brands are definitely paying attention to this. And we are actually planning our own peptide launch this year. So stay tuned for updates on that for one of Jellyco's products. And that's been in the works for a while now, so it's not on the basis of this news article that I'm sharing today, but it has been something that we've been working on for a while, and I think other brands are as well. Now, on to this week's question of the week, and we had a very interesting question come through on Style Stories Instagram from one of our followers, and she was asking specifically about one specific brand that I'd never heard of that were saying that they were using Korean technology, and she was asking, you know, have you heard of this brand? Have you heard of these products? And what the product was a melting collagen mask. So essentially, the ad shows you someone applying what looks to be a regular sheet mask, like a mask, and then they get the spray out, like a misting spray. They spray it all over their face, and the mask appears to melt into the skin. And when you look into it a little bit more, what they're actually advertising is that it is a collagen mask that is then melting into your face. And I had to do a little bit of research because, like I said, it's not something that I'd seen. And what I realized was that this was actually something that had been trending very briefly in Korea from about 2018 onwards, there was a couple of brands that were doing this. And, you know, they were getting a little bit of buzz in the media. There were articles and whatnot all the way through to probably about 2021. And they're essentially suggesting, I assume, that the collagen is then absorbed into your skin. Now, you know, our question of the week, the person was basically asking, well, does it work? And the answer is no, at least not in the way that the marketing is suggesting. So the reason that you use this kind of technology is to enhance the absorption of the product's active ingredients. But as we all know, all collagen can really do at a topical level like this is hydrate your skin. It's not actually penetrating your skin or body to increase your skin's own natural collagen stores. And, you know, there's iffy data even for the edible collagen, whether that actually can improve your collagen as well. You know, some people have very convincing arguments for why they think that it does work, but some of the more convincing ones that I've seen, when you look into the person doing the speaking, you'll find that they have their own collagen line, their own edible collagen line. So, you know, you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt as well. This is just my personal opinion, but I honestly think you'll probably see better results from the sprays that everyone is using in these ads to melt the collagen rather than the masks themselves. And that's because if you have a look at the advertising, the way it's being done, you know, they're aggressively misting and spraying this stuff onto the mask so that it melts in. And what it leaves you with is this really hydrated, glassy, glowing complexion. But you don't need the mask to do that. You can get that from a lot of mists and hydration in general. There's a reason that so many brands, including our brand Jellyco, is focused on hydration, and that is because it can absolutely radically improve the condition, the look, and the feel of your skin. So that's just my hot take, but do not fall for the marketing that, you know, the collagen is in some way being absorbed into your skin and that will, you know, naturally replenish your skin. Skin's own collagen. It just doesn't work like that. If it did, it would be really nice. There are some treatments that you can do in office, in a proper dermatologist's office, that do actually claim to renew or restore your skin's own natural collagen, but you're not going to get it just from sitting there applying a nice face mask. Those kind of things tend to hurt, so you'll definitely know about it. There'll either be needles coming at you, or there'll be some sort of, you know, intensive ultrasound therapy going on. So that is my answer. I hope that is useful. But yeah, just be wary of those kind of things, because they look really great in the ads. I saw another one that was doing the rounds last year, and it looked like it was melting people's blackheads or something like that. And again, it was just like very cleverly shot. But sometimes when you actually have a look into what the kind of technology is that they're claiming to be using, it doesn't really work like that in practice. So that is one of those. Now, we did have some new Korean beauty product reviews left on the website on stylestory.com.au. And the first one I came across was for Purito's Cica Clearing BB Cream. And our reviewer gave it 5 stars, and she said it's the best BB cream ever. It gives the best coverage. So there you go, a very short and sharp review, but obviously she was absolutely loving it. And one of the good things about Purito's BB cream line is that, and look, again, caveat, it's not the same as Western shade ranges, but it is not bad for a Korean brand. They do have most of their customers in the foreign market rather than the domestic Korean market. So it makes sense that they've paid a little bit more attention to their shade range. So if you are looking for a couple of extra options, I'm not gonna, you know, say that you're going to go out and get a full shade range. You aren't. I do not know of any Korean brand that is doing that kind of thing, except maybe Laneige with their Neo Bespoke line. And I'm not sure even how accessible that is outside of coming into a store in Korea and actually having your color color matched, and then they'll make it up on the spot for you. But this shade range isn't bad. If you need a couple of extra options, that is one that I can give you. Now, the second review that we had was a 4-star review, and this one was for Dr. Jart's Cicapair Color Correcting Cream, which is the green to beige one. You've probably seen it online if you spend any time on social media. It was very popular. It was viral on TikTok. So our customer said, good. I received the product early and it was intact. Always a good thing. A little goes a long way with this product. I tried it and it does help with redness, but it leaves a white cast, unfortunately. It helps when I mix some foundation, but it defeats the purpose of me getting this product. Thankfully, it does give improvement to my acne scars as a treatment. So there you go. It does contain a sunscreen, which is why it probably does have that white cast. Now, Dr. Jart actually bought down the SPF. I think it was running at about a 40 or a 44, and now it's around a 24. Don't quote me on that. They pretty much halved it. And I think that you'll find that that was one of the reasons that they did that, is because so many people were complaining about the white cast, or that it left them looking a little gray. So this product, I think I've discussed it several times on the show. I really think that it's a bit hit and miss. It depends what you're trying to cover, and it depends on your skin type. I've had good results from using it, but it tends to work better on its own for me. Whereas if I'm wearing it underneath other base makeup products like a foundation or a BB cream, I tend to still need to go over it with another concealer. So I think trial and error is definitely the key. I think you'll probably have better or worse luck depending on your skin shade, your skin tone, your undertones as well, just because of the white cast. But there you go. That was someone that she, I guess, didn't really find that it worked the way that she thought it would, but it had helped with some of her acne scars. So I guess worthy of a 4-star overall. So thank you so much for that feedback. That's very useful to anyone that is leaving, you know, their thoughts behind. And thank you so much to everyone that does leave their feedback on our website as well. It's very useful, not only for other people that are coming across and reading the comments, but also, you know, for the brands, for product development purposes as well, so that they know what to focus on and what to work on. Generally, the least helpful reviews are the ones where people are just like, this did nothing, with no context, because did nothing, like, what are you starting with? What are you working with? What were you hoping for? What didn't it deliver on? Like, the more information you can give, the better. But I get it. Not everyone wants to do that. Some people are just like, 1-star. Terrible. But yeah, when we're sort of, you know, sifting through them all, trying to make sense of it, it is very helpful if people do give long reviews like that, just so that we know what people are liking, and also, you know, what to stock more of as well. All right, I'm going to finish up this episode with a recommendation for the week. So if you have been searching around for our Jellyco products, particularly if you are based in Australia, you've probably noticed that we have sold out of pretty much all of our best sellers. We are officially sold out of Cherry Blossom Sleeping Mask globally. So if you somehow managed to get your hands on that somewhere, you are very, very lucky. I mentioned on a previous episode that that product is being renewed at the moment. So it will be a couple of months away at least before we can re-release it. We're also sold out of our Bubble Tea Steam Cream, which is our number one bestseller. That was the fifth time we've sold out in Australia. However, there are some stockists in the US that have stock of that. So you can find it at the moment on Amazon, and I believe also at CO Bigelow, which is, they have a storefront in New York, and they also have an online store as well. So if you're searching for that, get your hands on it quickly, because that is also, we are doing a new run for that as we speak as well. The other product that is temporarily out of stock is our Dewy Glaze Toner. And again, I believe there is stock for that in some retailers in the US. But if you are searching for any of these products, just know that there is a notification function on our website that you can actually sign up for that will let you know when they're back in stock. Those three are the most popular. So if you do manage to get your hands on them, congratulations. But just make sure that you sign up for the stock when it comes back in stock. You'll be the first to be notified. The toner should be back in stock in a couple of weeks, but the other two may be out of stock for a little while, which is unfortunate, but this is what happens when you win a beauty award. The Cherry Blossom Sleeping Mask, of course, was selected as one of the Best of Beauty Award winners for Prevention Magazine last year in Australia, and in their Daily Essentials category, and that pretty much just sealed the deal. Any remaining stock we had just flew out off the shelves, and then also Bubble Tea Steam Cream is just always a bestseller, but I think we had so many extra orders for the mask, a lot of people were picking up Bubble Tea Steam Cream as well, so they both ended up going out of stock fairly quickly, one after the other. But just to let you know, we do have that functionality on our website, and then it will just send you a little email to let you know, and it won't sort of spam you with other stuff either. If you sign up for those notifications, it'll just be a notification for the stock when it gets back in. So I'm going to finish it up here this week. I really hope the sound is not too crazy. Please forgive me if we are slightly more muffled or there's a bit more background noise than normal. And I will be back in your ears next week. We have a really fun topic for next week that I know a lot of you will enjoy. So make sure you stay subscribed and I will talk to you then. Until next time, I'll see you on Style Story.